to be a part of it. New York, New York.
Ah, yes, for a few shining moments, New York is the center of the American political universe. We had Hillary swiping a subway card and taking some swipes at Bernie Sanders. Bernie waxed nostalgic about subway tokens and took a few swipes at Hillary. John Kasich ate at a deli. Imagine that. Ted Cruz got the old Bronx cheer, then headed north to the friendly confines of a Christian academy in Scotia. Donald Trump shuffling off to Buffalo, allegedly will be in Albany early next week. Can New York stand all this political relevance? Well, we're going to find out. It's the Roundtable panel on WAMC, 13 minutes after 9 o'clock. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. And on the panel today, we welcome back, first of all, Barbara Smith. Nice to have you back on the show.
I'm so happy to be here.
And Rosemary Armeo, who is so far AWOL, but I think she'll probably show up, right?
It's not snowing.
She knew I was hosting, so she'd probably blow it off. Chris Churchill from the Times Union, you're also here. Nice to have you guys here today.
Glad to be here.
And, well, big news. I mean, Ted Cruz was in Scotia yesterday. And
did I see you there, Barbara?
No.
Were you there, Chris?
I was there.
If you did, it would have been my doppelganger, not my twin sister, which I actually have one.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yes, I do. But the thing is,
she wasn't
if
there
you
either.
Saw anybody that looked like me, it was a doppelganger.
You know, on the days that you're not here, we could have your sister in.
She lives in Boston. I don't think that would work.
Well, we can do amazing things with technology. All right, let's hear just a little bit while Rosemary settles in. Let's do listen to what Mr. Cruz had to say about our New York values.
Oddly enough, our friends in the media are very comfortable with a New York liberal who has supported Andrew Cuomo and Hillary Clinton and Chuck Schumer for decades. And they really want to see a general election between two New York liberals who agree on Washington being the center of the universe.
That was Ted Cruz yesterday at the McKeel Academy in Scotia. Chris Churchill, you were there.
I was there. I was one of the media members sitting there while he accused us of supporting Trump.
How'd you feel about that?
It was fine. I mean, that's kind of par for the course.
So it seemed, and of course I was not there, it seemed like a fairly electric event.
The crowd was enthusiastic. There is a share of the audience that was there just for the spectacle, I think, or just to see a presidential candidate. But the crowd was enthusiastic. He delivered what was pretty much his standard stump speech.
Lines about the slogans on hats and things like that. But you get that from all the politicians.
Right. They all have a speech. It's like a comedian. They don't do a different show in every city. They just deliver the same lines, you know. But
you wrote a nice piece entitled Ted Cruz is Smarter Than Trump, Yet a New York Underdog. Does he have a shot at all, or is he just...
He doesn't. No, I don't think he does have a shot. I mean, the latest polls show him in a distant third, I think, with something like 17%. Kasich is 25%, 30%, something like that. But he doesn't need to. I mean, he's just trying to pull delegates out of the state at this point. And because New York apportions them by congressional district, he can go to the various districts. And if he gets more than 20% in any one of them, he'll get a delegate out of it, which is all he really cares about.
Rosemary, what do you think?
About Ted Cruz, nothing.
Did you watch or
yes.
listen?
Mm-hmm. Rosemary's I read it today. Nothing.
Rosemary's in the front row. I saw her cheering wildly
with Barbara.
Like most of New York, I have no interest in Ted Cruz. Oh my goodness, no.
Well, I do think something, which is that he's dangerous, and that if indeed he triumphs and gets the nomination, I know other people have said this. I think he's worse than Trump. He's not more bombastic than Trump. He's not more ignorant than Trump. But the thing is, his policies and where he stands is extremely doctrinaire.
He would seem
Can I just say, I totally agree, except he's far more beatable than Trump is, I think.
Okay.
So. And yet he would seem to be a much more polished politician.
I would disagree with that. I think Trump is far more dangerous if we're going to, rank them that way. I think... It's the temperament issue. I mean, Cruz is Cruz, and he has his policies, and, those are obviously not popular policies with most people in New York. But he's calm, he's measured, he thinks about what he says before he says it. And when you're talking about somebody whose primary role is, international relations and stuff like that, Trump is
terrifying.
He
calmly wants to shut down the government.
Well,
not have government.
Well, it's calculated, though, right? I mean...
Obamacare gone the first day. I sort of don't mind the IRS.
First of all, how can you do that? But by the way, the email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. I didn't, during the monologue, I forgot to mention that. roundtable@wamc.org if you want to weigh in. One of the things that I think you could say is a plus for both Cruz and Sanders is that there isn't a lot of guesswork about where they stand. With someone like Trump, it seems you have to read the codes and the signs and try to figure out
what day of the week it is and
which way the
like
wind
that.
Is blowing.
Exactly.
So, but
exactly.
Cruz and Sanders are pretty much, this is what I am, take it or leave it.
I know, and in some ways, a Cruz versus Sanders general election would be pretty fascinating because for once we would have two very stark choices. You know, it wouldn't be this muddled middle that we get every 4 years. You would, you know, we'd be a very... And a lot of people wouldn't be happy with those two choices, but you would get a very distinct direction for the country, whichever way the country went.
So
you would also get a third party candidate.
Didn't we have that in the last presidential contest?
Did we really? I don't know.
You thought the Republican was anything like Barack Obama?
I don't think the differences are anywhere near as stark as they. I mean, Romney was a fairly moderate Republican. I mean, he's Romney care.
I guess compared to now, he is. I didn't think so at the time.
No, I just have to say
this
something.
I have got to say something
though about who's more dangerous. I mean, we don't want to find out. You know, that's not a thought
experiment.
Keep it a thought experiment or whatever. But the thing is that around the issue of reproductive rights. I just feel that Cruz is horrific, and he doesn't believe in any exceptions, including incest and rape. And what I say whenever I see him on my television is, yeah, 11-year-old girl is experiencing incest. She becomes pregnant. It happens. People don't want to think it happens. It happens. And her role on Earth as an 11-year-old child who has been raped via incest and the
Trump,
context
however,
incest, is to have that baby.
Yeah, well, Trump would make her have the baby in jail.
Yeah, Trump has been all over the place on that one. It's kind of hard to know. Cruz doesn't support that.
Maybe in jail if she tried to have an abortion.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So, but the thing is, Cruz would just have the 11-year-old girl have
just
the baby.
Just have the baby, yeah.
Because he's really concerned about the child.
The baby. Yeah.
Well,
we
get to an issue here that is, I think, going to be one of the huge parts of the general election, and that is the female vote. And none of the Republicans, except maybe Kasich, would pull a substantial number of the women voters, at least as far
and
as
that's
I can
not
see.
Because
Kasich
of his stances.
Yeah, Kasich should not pull him. He's as bad as the rest of them.
Yeah, I mean, they have had really draconian laws in the state of Ohio under his watch, under his leadership, to close down clinics, et cetera. The way that they do it these days, which is not to go directly at, you know, the right to abortion. It's like to have all these statutes and all these rules that virtually no freestanding institution can meet.
He just doesn't talk about his penis on national TV, so everyone thinks he's more reasonable. Not true.
Thanks, Rosemary. All right, if you're scoring at home, that's one reference.
I love talking about sexual organs in front of you. You blush.
Well, Catholic upbringing, you know. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. Why not take a break? That's a great idea, and we'll be back. John Kasich will be in our area on Monday. And things heating up here in New York, things heating up between Bernie and Hillary, and we'll get to that next on the Roundtable. Roundtable at WAMC. It's the Roundtable panel. Our email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Chris Churchill is here from the Times Union. Author and activist Barbara Smith is here, and Times Union columnist Chris Churchill is here twice. Also, Rosemary Armeo, who is our resident gadfly, I would say.
No,
wow.
No. I can do Rosemary's introduction. She is a professor of journalism at the University at Albany.
Yes.
And an investigative reporter.
That's fine.
Not just a gadfly.
So
AKA gadfly.
I think she's a troublemaker from day one. This came in at roundtable@wamc.org. This is from James, who says, James Brown, by the way, the hardest working emailer in our listening audience. Last night on CBS News was not a shining moment for Bernie. When an aggressive Charlie Rose asked Bernie if those who voted for the Iraq War, including Hillary, were responsible for the deaths of American troops, an uncomfortable Bernie said, of course not. Well, this is from our letter writer, Bernie knows and should have said that when legislators vote for something, they're responsible for the consequences, good or bad. The vote for the Iraq War should have been the end of the political careers for the yes voters, including Hillary. Joe, Chuck, Bernie got it right then. and his was a politically courageous no vote. Still my first choice for President of the United States among the candidates. That's from James.
Very loyal.
Okay.
How about getting rid of the guy who started the war instead of the legislators?
Well,
who went along
our writer just said that was not a shining moment for him when he said they were not responsible.
Well, he was trying to back away from his very harsh criticism.
There was some, I tell you, the Clinton-Sanders rhetoric is now ratcheted up about 19 shots.
Exactly.
They traded some real shots yesterday about who's qualified and who's not qualified. Now, in reading what Hillary said, she didn't actually say that Bernie was unqualified, did she?
She did not, nor did he say that about her. I think he misused. He should have said she disqualified herself from running by voting for Iraq, et cetera, et cetera. If he had said that, we wouldn't be having the controversy. Instead, we have all these edited sound bites where it says she is not qualified.
Well, Bernie did say this, and I'll quote here from the AP. I don't believe that she is qualified if she is, through her super PAC, taking tens of millions of dollars in special interest funds. Bernie did say that. That's a quote.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. He was responding, the way this war began, he was responding to a Washington Post headline.
Right.
So, and it just kind of spiraled downward, it seems, from there.
Right. I liked it better when he was keeping it clean and discussing policy. And he may be open to more criticism now that if he wants to play this game. For example, the whole PAC thing, who's collecting his money? I'm sorry, but I'm fairly good at looking at budgets. How do you collect $44 million in a month if your average a contribution is $27? It's almost not possible, or if it is, you are using an organization that may not be called a PAC, but it must be operating in a similar way.
Well, I mean,
he does have a PAC supporting him, that nurses PAC, which is, you know, similar to the
So, I mean, so what I'm saying, I to me, this is the way politics is done in our country. I don't like it, but I don't think it'll change until Citizens United is changed. Mm. And so to play by the system is what you do. And I think he's vulnerable if he keeps pressing this.
Mm. Interesting. All right, we have an email here that I think is pretty funny, and we didn't actually discuss this on the topic list today, but this sort of crossed recently. This is from Juan. Ray, speaking about Catholic upbringing, what do you think of the Pope inviting Bernie to the Vatican? Hope Hillary doesn't feel snubbed. Did you see that news?
I did.
I think he's going on Thursday, right?
I don't know. I don't know when he's going, but it was on Morning Joe this morning. He was being interviewed on Morning Joe, and they asked him about his invitation to the Vatican to talk about economic reforms. Economic issues.
Well, that's great. The Vatican likes to talk to all kinds of people, including that clerk down in Kentucky who wouldn't marry gay people.
Oh, let's not go there. I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
Go there, Barbara. We have a minute. Go ahead.
The thing is that, you know, obviously she was the face of a really retrograde social agenda on the right in this country. He was visiting at the time, and my understanding is that she was presented to him. It wasn't exactly as it was described, you know, that, you know, it wasn't like
a one-on-one audience.
The Pope or
is the one with Bernie a one-on-one audience?
I have no idea.
Yeah, well, she was a Democrat, though. I mean, you say she was on the right, but she was a Democrat.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, she's still on the right because Democrat equals, you know, Republican equals.
Well, yeah, it depends
her
on the
views. Her views were quite right.
Depends on the time period. Senator Byrd, for instance, he was a Democrat who was obviously had a few issues.
Well, the Pope's new, it's not an encyclical, whatever you call it, ruling, came out on families. And he also, like the clerk in Kentucky, does not believe in gay marriage.
That's correct. Yeah,
so
he doesn't.
They had some philosophical likeness, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's the roundtable panel on WAMC. Coming up on our first break in a couple of minutes here. There was a headline in the Post. You spoke of the Post headline, which started all this, Barbara. There's a Post headline today. Is an increasingly nasty Clinton-Sanders race doing lasting damage to Democrats? And in the last minute or two here, let's get your thoughts on that. We'll start with Rosemary.
No, Americans have no memory. It's headlines today. It'll be forgotten tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it'll pass. I mean, once the New York primary is over, or once this primary battle is over, they'll, you know, join hands.
But some things have staying power.
What
Trump said about New York values was quite a while ago, and it's quite clear that will haunt him, perhaps beyond New York.
You mean what Cruz said?
What Cruz said. Excuse me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some things do have staying power. Are the taunts and frankly,
does it though? I mean, he was never going to win New York in the first place, right? So, I mean, right. he knew what he was doing when he said that, and it helped him win Iowa, apparently. So,
I'm so sorry.
I think that he made the trade off. He knew what he was doing, and it worked out well for him.
What I was going to say is, I think there's a difference between a remark and this structural soundness of a political one of the two major political parties. That's a different realm. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, they're remarks that people are still quoting, like "Where's the beef?" or whatever. You know, yeah. Doesn't necessarily
or little,
shape
little Marco or yeah. Trump doesn't necessarily has been particularly shape our successful.
Lying Ted.
Yeah, lying
functioning,
Ted.
The functioning of our democracy.
Yeah, you know, Bernie said something that's been published for the first time, which I thought was important, which is about this whole qualification thing. He goes, "She's very intelligent. She's very experienced. If she is the nominee, I will support her." I've not heard him say that.
She said the same thing about him.
Yes, and I hope supporters on both sides heard that. The solution, if your candidate on the Democratic side doesn't win, is not to vote for Trump.
Or not to vote at all.
Or not to vote at all.
All right, we'll have to take a break here. It is the roundtable panel. Rosemary, Barbara Smith, and Chris Churchill. Ray Graff in for Joe. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org, and we will check the old email bag after the news. Welcome back to the roundtable on WAMC. 9:34, it's a Friday morning, kind of a drab Friday out there, but we'll try to bring some sunshine to your life for a few minutes and probably fail miserably. Chris Churchill is here, very sunny disposition. Rosemary Armeo, partly cloudy. And Barbara Smith, who's always sunny, and very good to have her back on the show.
Thank you.
I think you're playing favorites, and I'm protesting.
Well, I got to say, I think Barbara Smith has a much more balanced outlook on things than you. I think you're off the rails most of the time. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Just trying to cause trouble. She's been very calm today. I'm trying to cause trouble, and it's not working. Maybe this email will work. Roundtable@wamc.org. This is from Mark. If Clinton gets the nomination, Burners will be writing in Bernie, and we'll get a Republican president. Tell that to Rose, a Clintonista. That's from Mark in Plattsburgh.
I like that term, Clintonista.
Who's Rose?
You don't like that, right?
I take them all. Rose.
It's a lovable nickname.
I don't like, you know, some other words I've been called.
Now, okay, so, but Rose is not one of the, like, Rosie,
right.
No good.
And he called
Rosie
you a Clintonista?
No, Clintonista.
Okay.
And then we get this from Carol. What scares me is that my Republican female friends say that if Trump is the candidate, they will not vote.
Yeah, that scares me, too.
So that brings to...
If they're Republicans, then you would want them not to vote, right?
People should vote. Yeah. People should vote. My students should vote. Young people should vote.
But if it's Trump v. Clinton, it's going to be a very low turnout election. I think that's for sure.
That's interesting. You think so?
Yeah. Well, they talk about the fact that neither one of them are well-liked.
Right. They both have high unpopularity. Yeah. I think Trump will drive some Democrats to the polls just because they'll be so fearful of him. But I think a lot of Republicans will stay home for sure.
And that's interesting because you need
all... Go ahead. I was just going to say, I never thought it would be a washout. I think it'll be a very close race if that were the lineup. But I didn't think about it being low turnout.
Hmm. I think that this is a really fascinating aspect. It's not that the Bernie voters would necessarily vote for Trump, but if they don't show up... I think that the Republicans need every possible person to go if they have any chance at all.
That's how elections are decided. I mean, Romney got 7 million votes fewer than McCain. So 7 million people who voted for McCain didn't show up for Romney.
Right.
Who those people are, we don't know necessarily. But, I mean, that if he got the same number of people to show up for him as McCain did, he'd be president today.
All right, this one came from Carolyn in Albany. First, with all the talk about qualifications yesterday, I can't understand why there's so little talk about Cruz not meeting one of only two qualifications in the Constitution, being a natural-born citizen. Also, he clearly doesn't understand New Yorkers. If he can say that we think Washington is the center of the universe, it's clearly New York City. That's
I was talking to a lawyer friend last night, and we got onto the birther thing. First, we can't believe that Obama took heat on it, and Cruz has not. And secondly, he could really lose if there were a contest. It is not so clearly written. It's in the Constitution. The only birth requirement is for the president. It was deliberately intended to get people who were born within the confines of the United States. And there's lots of case law on this, going back to, you know, what our first, what, five or six presidents were not, they were born in what was England. They were born in the colonies. But they were all born within the confines of the United States.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wouldn't this have come up when McCain was running, though? He was born outside the country.
No, he was in the canal zone.
Yes.
He was not the Panama Canal Zone.
Right.
He was not in the country of Panama. There's a difference.
Goldwater was also born outside the country.
Also, wasn't it a military base?
I'm
was
not
it
sure
when
about
Arizona
that.
Was a territory or something like that?
Ah, that's it. That's it.
See that old?
I don't know.
Yeah, you might be right.
He might
be.
But this is unique where he has one parent who's an American, but they were clearly was born in a different country of a father of non-American. Is that a natural birth? It's really debatable. Trump is actually right on that.
Well, you know that there are several file folders full of material should Cruz become the nominee. And Democrats have been noted for some lawyering up, let's say. And so I think they're ready to go if that happens. Somebody will.
I wonder why no one has settled that during this period.
I think there was a case in New York State.
Yeah, and it was dismissed for a lack of, jurisdiction.
So that's a little bit of precedent.
What surprises me is that Trump isn't talking about it anymore, because he seemed to have some success with it when he was hammering that home.
He does bring it up in every interview. He mentions it once or twice. Mm. Yeah, he does. He's not hammering with it.
It's not resonating, I guess, the way it was before.
All right, there are a ton of email, and if I miss your email. Then I apologize. This one is from Dave in Oneonta. I love how Rosemary is so one-sided pertaining to Hillary and Bernie. No matter who has a point or what is said, Rosemary always sides with Hillary. I don't think that's true. I've heard criticism come out of Rosemary, and I think you are cherry-picking what you hear, Dave. You're a supporter of Hillary, but you also call him as you see him.
Yeah.
I've heard that on this show. As much as I would like to agree, that is not going to happen.
I think Bernie is the second best candidate in this whole race.
This is from Jay, who says, Republicans were obsessed with the Reverend Jeremiah Wright. When do we start talking about Cruz's father, a Christian jihadist whack job? That's from Jay. Want a right-wing theocracy? Vote for Cruz. All right, you say them, we read them. This is from Anthony. Panel, Republican BS is the subject heading. Once that baby is born, the Republicans will drop care for that baby in a so-called New York minute.
You're talking about that baby that the little 11-year-old girl is being forced to have. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is from Rob, who is he's a gadfly in his own right. Thank you to the panel. When the right-wing ranting on talk radio starts to get me down, I turn on Roundtable for some left-wing ranting. Well, thank you, Rob. We appreciate that. This is from Bob. Cruz campaigns on the claim that he stands by his positions and doesn't change his message to pander to different constituencies. If that were true, he'd be using his real name, Rafael, instead of trying to obscure his Cuban heritage by calling himself Ted.
That's a low blow.
That's a low blow. Really...
Yeah. It's like the people who insist on calling Barack Obama Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah.
You know, whenever anybody calls me and uses that, I know that we've got a certain point of view coming.
All right, we'll read one more and then we'll take a break. And so, again, the email address is roundtable@wamc.org. There are thousands to go, and we'll just read them as we get them. Let's face it, there are no Republican moderates left, says Dr. Miguel. They were chased out of the party years ago. To consider Romney, Kasich, Rubio, and others as moderate is silly.
Yeah.
All right. Bill Clinton yesterday traded verbal shots in a feisty 15-minute exchange with Black Lives Matter protesters in Philadelphia as he defended his wife's presidential bid. Rob, do you have the sound from that? Let's hear it.
I don't know how you would characterize the gang leaders who got 13-year-old kids hopped up on crack and sent them out onto the street to murder other African-American children. Maybe you thought they were good citizens. She didn't. She didn't.
The protesters were shouting that black youth are not super predators, taking issue with the phrase used by Hillary Clinton in 1996 in a speech about violent crime committed by young people. This was really quite
off.
Something.
It was off.
What do you have to say, Barbara?
Well, the thing is that, this is not me. This is me repeating what I heard as far as it being discussed, on television, that she had walked that back. Her remark, from the 90s, she had walked that back, and I think even perhaps apologized for having used that terminology.
Have used that term, she said.
So the fact that he brings it out again and justifies what she said, that's not great. And it made me wonder, there's something called, message and unity of message for a campaign. And I thought, do they talk to each other? I mean, I don't know, hindsight is 2020. So I don't know if it was her, you know, her oversight or whatever, to not say, Bill, by the way, don't ever quote me. Mm-hmm. He says, yeah. Saying, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how that would have happened, but it seems to me if she walked it back and apologized, that he should have been paying attention to know that he shouldn't have been justified.
Bill got into the moment. He is not an asset to her campaign. Here's the thing on Black Lives Matter that just gets lost. And again, this comes from my lawyer friend that we forget. The debate is what gets thrown back at Black Lives Matter is what about all the other blacks being killed, as he's mentioned, but in gangs and in drug violence. And the correct response is we're not protesting those because there's a system set up for that. That gets handled in our courts. But when you have a cop, a white cop, killing a black life on the street, they don't get indicted. If they do, they don't get punished, hardly ever. And that's the protest. That's what it's really about, is law enforcement and court system. It's not about blacks killing blacks or whites killing blacks. That's the racial veneer that we've put on it, and it just ruins the debate that we really ought to be having.
But
Bill played into that.
To look at it in another way, I see the whole picture. You know, I think you're absolutely right, as is your lawyer, your mm-hmm. friend. You're absolutely right that Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Matter movement, is focusing on extrajudicial killings.
Correct.
By law enforcement. That don't get punished. Yes, but the thing is, the context of an overabundance of crime within impoverished black communities, that's a part of a social justice agenda too. And also the term, you know, I'm not even sure this is a real word, but I've seen it in writing, the carceral state,
yeah.
Meaning a state that incarcerates and disproportionate numbers and percentages. What you have is this kind of context then of like not restorative justice, not like let's make sure we don't have any people going to prison because they're all going to college. My solution. But the thing is that there is some connection to them, but to bring out black on black crime as a reason why we don't need to care about police violence.
Ridiculous.
That's not even.
But in that incarceral state you're talking about, I mean, that is part of the Clinton record. They do have to answer for that.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's why I think Bill Clinton went off, because he felt like his anti-crime bill was under attack.
So he was defending himself more than.
I believe he was
defending himself.
And he went
chapter, line, and verse in his defense
of himself.
He did.
Yeah. Which doesn't help his wife, which mm-hmm. should have been what you were talking, mm-hmm. staying on message. Really, other problem with this is that our lack of a civil discourse, again, the place to have this discussion, which is an important one, is not protesters yelling at a surrogate for a candidate in a presidential race. It just is wrong. You're just going to end up with.
Well, how else do they get their message out, though? I mean, we're talking about it today. We wouldn't be talking about it if they hadn't done it. Right?
I thought it was pretty effective when they voted out the prosecutors in two different cities that didn't indict white cops. I thought that was really effective.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen all that often.
By the way, the audio that we heard was courtesy of NPR. I have to mention that.
Yeah, it takes longer. Those were two good solutions to get rid of those prosecutors.
Getting back to your point, Barbara, that Bill neglected to mention that Hillary walked back those comments. Is it then, are you saying that the Black Lives Matter protesters should not be bringing up the super predators line?
Oh, no, not at all. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that his reaction was put it back on, you know, front burner as far as people paying attention to it. And apparently he didn't have the thought process of our campaign made a real effort to address that very prickly and difficult issue.
Yeah.
The attempt to do that, whether successful or not, the attempt was made. He just threw that out. And then another thing, as you were asking me the question, I was thinking, I wonder, was he just the guy defending his wife?
Well, I think Rosemary is closer to the truth. He was defending himself.
I think he got angry, and if he knew that, he just went out of his head. He was clearly reacting emotionally.
Right. But the thing is, like, yeah, I think that was just something to throw in, a red herring to throw in. But the thing is that, yeah, he definitely cited all the good things about his crime bill.
The big picture is, though, that if he's making news, it's not good for Hillary. I mean, he really should be in the background.
Then why not just say, hey, Bill, sit this one out?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I don't really know why they have him going around making, because I don't think it helps that much.
Is he still an asset? That's the question. Yeah. Is he still an asset?
He caused a big problem in, wasn't it Massachusetts, where he was at the polling place? And you still hear about that. Oh,
yeah.
That was illegal what he did.
What was
did
it
he
illegal?
Do? He was campaigning for Hillary very close to a polling place. And it was okay according to the actual letter of the law.
Right.
But he went right up to the line. So
right.
If you're against Hillary, of course you use that against her. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they must have polling data that suggests that him being out there helps them some way.
They have to.
But he's just got to be careful when he's out there to not make news that puts him on CNN, you know, screaming and yelling at a crowd of people.
He needs Chelsea there to say, hey, cool it, Dad. That'd be good.
It's interesting how the daughters, you know, seem to, you know.
The email address.
Well, I like daughters in the campaigns more than spouses. That whole Trump-Cruz thing was just like, oh, my gosh.
The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. But if Bill is out there, then automatically it to some extent falls into that Republican trap of tying Hillary directly to she was not the president, okay? But they can, just as they did with Bush being tied to Reagan and
Jeb being tied to George.
Exactly. Well, and so this is standard political operating procedure, and they're playing into the Republican hands by having Bill do these high-profile
things. I have never sat here and ever said that Hillary should not be connected to Bill's policies, because I think that they are, and I think that you're right. Him being a surrogate is proof of that. What I do object to is her getting the blame for his sexual problems. I mean, she's been more punished in a while, except for, I guess, impeachment. She's been more punished for that in this election.
Yeah, I think it's absurd. That whole line of argument is absurd.
Yeah.
The email address, once again, is roundtable@wamc.org. We got to take a break here, and then we'll take a few samples from the email bag and then talk about UFOs. It's just another day on the roundtable.
Support for WAMC comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, presenting an evening of Zydeco music with Terrence Simeon and the Zydeco Experience Band, Friday, April 15th, Massery Center for the Arts, strose.edu. Maybe Farm Historic Site, an 18th century farm featuring food exhibit, nature trails, and events for children and adults, presenting Vernacular Architecture in Schenectady with Walter Wheeler this Saturday at 1 p.m., schenectadyhistorical.org. And UHY Advisors, accountants and tax advisors to business, government, and not-for-profits, serving the Capital Region for over 50 years, uhy-us.com.
Roundtable on WAMC. The Roundtable panel, Ray Graff in for Joe. Chris Churchill from the TU is here, and Barbara Smith is back in the guest chair. Rosemary Armeo is here as well, and Terry writes, it's not as much fun when Alan and Rosemary aren't fighting. All right. Do you agree or disagree?
No, I don't miss that.
Oh. All right. This one's from Andrew. Does a Clinton-Sanders ticket make sense? Would Bernie belong to a ticket with a super PAC? Andrew at New Paltz. Anybody want to touch it?
I can't. I don't see
that
happening.
That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. I'm sorry. Oh, I don't want to insult the reader.
No, feel free.
That is the writer. But the thing is, I think one of the things one does when one is choosing a running mate is to try to balance the ticket.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Would that be the right way to balance the ticket?
That's what I'm saying. You know, I, you know, person of color, you know.
Geographic, anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, too, that she's going to, as soon as this primary is over, she's going to pivot right away from all this socialist left-wing stuff and go right back to the
That's
center.
Kind
I don't
of
think
the way it runs in politics. You go to the center.
I don't think she wants. I think Bernie will be in the rearview mirror.
Well, that's an interesting question, though. If Ted Cruz gets the nomination, and I think conventional wisdom says that if Trump doesn't get it on the first ballot, Cruz is going to get this thing. If Cruz gets it, does he pivot to the center? I don't see him doing that.
That is never happening.
He doesn't compromise.
That's the point I was trying to make earlier in the show. He is doctrinaire.
This is
right,
from
the same way that Bernie wouldn't pivot to the center either.
How could Bernie? Yeah.
Probably.
All right. This is from Daisy. Bernie gets huge donations from Silicon Valley. Lots of top limits. Why he won't criticize Apple? Bernie and Vatican. Sexism lives. That's from Daisy.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Because okay.
Well, go ahead.
No, because they invited the male Democratic candidate for president from the United States as opposed to the female.
All
is
right.
that the basis of the invitation?
Well,
okay.
We don't know. We got a follow-up from Daisy, I'm sure. This is from Denise. Hillary's so-called war vote was really a vote to give the president an option to go to eat under certain circumstances. Go to war, I assume she means, not to eat. That's one of those autocorrect things. That Bush used those votes to charge headlong into a disastrous war is on him, not the senators who wanted the president to have all the tools possible to resolve a dangerous situation. Jack writes, Bernie encouraging unrealistic expectations about what is politically and substantively possible. His platform sounds wonderful, but the irony is, as with all uninformed idealism, that unintended consequences can make a bad situation worse. Anybody?
Yeah, I was looking again at his Daily News interview, which was not good for him. He's admitted himself. And the Washington Post came out with 9 things in this interview Bernie should have known. And the answers are, it's really distressing. He says, if I had the paper in front of me, I could give you a better answer. But they were really kind of basic and fundamental things that he didn't know the answers to about a lot of foreign policy and about policy here in the United States. So I think it is he's expressing a lot of idealism. I keep wondering if I were 18 now, would I be a Bernie supporter? Like many
that's
are.
When you're idealistic, right?
Yeah, and you don't care about whether you can really do it or how what happens once he gets in. I don't know. Barbara, you are a supporter, so.
I am, yes. And,
what
of course,
think?
My idealism has never diminished. As somebody who is of AARP, in the AARP demographic.
Famous
really
for that.
Yeah, it really hasn't.
You're very famous for that.
No, I'm not, but please. For what? Famous for AARP?
Yeah,
yes.
Very nice.
Yeah, I was in the magazine.
That's
yeah,
right.
The newsletter, yeah, right, whatever. The thing is that, as I said, my idealism has not diminished, but I also think that the core of Bernie's platform is around income inequality and the super rich, the billionaires really controlling, people's opportunities in this nation and living not just a different standard because they are rich, but because they're immune from things that others of us, contend with every day. So my feeling is that if we had a president who would prioritize these incredible economic disparities that continue to grow in this country, I don't see how that's a bad thing.
The problem he has, though, is that when he gets away from that particular issue, he struggles, mm-hmm. as he did in that Daily News interview.
Yeah, he does.
Him and Trump have that similarity where they have 3 or 4 things they're very good at talking about, but they kind of fall off the cliff when you ask them questions that they're not entirely
prepared. Yeah, and I'm not going
and
to.
Obama
I'm
is
not, disagreeing, with, that
Obama, I think his administration is a good example of what happens once you're elected. You're not on the campaign trail. You lose control over what becomes your priority. Obama's priority was we've got to set up relations with the Pacific Rim. He's done very little on that, and that's because ISIS popped up. It's because of, you all know.
Things happen.
Mm-hmm. He had that small little bailout he had to do early in his campaign. So if that were to happen again with Bernie in the White House, what would happen? So, you make it sound like I've lost my idealism and that's bad, but...
Oh, no, I didn't say that.
No, I worry about it.
That was the closest we've come to a fight on this whole hour.
It's not a fight. It's a worry. She may be right.
Let the record show.
Let's pick a fight within
the last minute. Well, I wanted to talk about the Clinton pledge to get to the bottom of the UFO situation.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, Bill did the same thing when he was running. And we never found the truth.
It's because when they get in the White House and they learn what the truth is, they realize they can't tell us or we would all freak out and run down the streets naked.
This is from this is from CNN. Clinton campaign chair, the American people can handle the truth on UFOs. And
sounds like a jacket.
It's easy for him to say. He doesn't know the truth. He doesn't know what.
It's such an interesting concept, though.
I read that and said, okay, what could the truth be?
That's what I'm saying. It's like that we can handle the truth. So it's written in such a way, if you think about it, is that we know what the truth is. That is, a couple of people do know. And what the potential administration is promising is that we're going to let you in on it. So you're dying. What
yeah,
is it?
Exactly.
What is
exactly.
It?
Are we sure we want to know? We might be much happier not knowing.
And I think you make a point, Churchill. John Podesta, who is Hillary's campaign chair, was a former chief of staff of Bill Clinton, who made the same ask. He wanted that information about Area 51 and UFOs. And so he was asked by Jake Tapper, if there's evidence of alien life. And Podesta said that's for the public to judge once they've seen all the evidence the U.S. government has. And he made clear there are a lot of planets out there. The American people can handle the truth. How about that for an X-Files?
Spooky music needs to play right now.
Right, indeed. All right. I'm really interested in all that stuff.
Me too. All right, and we're about done with the program. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Chris Churchill, what are you working on?
That's a good question.
You never know. It's like, after the show,
we have all these candidates coming to the area, so I'm sure I'll be working on that a little bit, especially next week.
You going to go see Kasich speak in Saratoga?
I don't know. Maybe. He's coming to Troy on Monday, apparently.
He's a delegate powerhouse, you know.
Is that true?
I think he has 12. Rosemary Armeo, thank you for being here.
I may not be back.
Why?
Because you were really mean to me today.
We'll I was
talk
not.
About after the show.
Really?
I'm going to meet you outside.
Okay. Well, let's have a smoke and talk about it. Barbara, thank you for being here.
Yes.
It's Roundtable.
I'll be back.
You
Good
will
to be back.
Thank you. Hour two is on the way.